The first reading this morning is taken from Psalm chapter 10, and that can be found on page 547 of the Pew Bible. That's Psalm 10, verses 1 to 18 on page 547. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, "Nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble." His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off to his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, "God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees." Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, "He won't call me to account"? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness, that would not be found out. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from this land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man, who is of the earth, may terrify no more. And the second reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through to 11, and that can be found on page 1158. That's 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through to 11. The God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give you thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Amen.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, as we have heard your word read to us, and as we come now to reflect upon it, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to guide us and help us in our thinking. Then, Lord, grant us your grace to respond to your word appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been said that some Christians are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. And Jesus told his disciples to be in the world, but not of it. In other words, we should be interested and concerned about those things that are happening in our world right here, right now. If we merely think to ourselves that, well, you know, it's just the way life is, really. It's terrible, isn't it? But we can do nothing to address the evil and suffering in the world. And, you know, besides, Jesus is coming back soon and he'll take us away from this evil, sinful world. Then can I gently say to you, that is faulty theology and totally misses the point of Christ's teaching about the kingdom of God. So this morning we're taking this as our Social Responsibility Sunday. It's a Sunday where we reflect on social issues in our world today and then our response to such issues. As Methodists, we're known for working out our faith in social action. The Council of Social Responsibility have a mission statement, which I will read for you. The Council aims to understand and analyse a range of social, political, economic, and constitutional issues. It attempts to consider these issues with theological insight and to provide realistic and practical recommendations for action. The Council operates through southern and northern executives, but there are areas of work which both continue to be involved in addressing together. So CSR continues to engage with political and civic society, both sides of the border, on behalf of our connection, along with our president and lay leader. Statements, commentary, and social engagement by CSR in 2019 have been under some of the following topics: environmental and climate change issues, Brexit, direct provision and needs of asylum seekers and refugees, engagement with politicians in regard to the lack of government at Stormont and legacy issues, domestic violence, homelessness, fostering and adoption, agriculture, universal credit. Can I encourage you to keep on looking at the Connectional website for updated statements and keep in touch with what we are saying as a Methodist church in Ireland into some of these issues. In our province then, we remember 50 years of what we term as the Troubles. In her history class a couple of years ago, Rachel was studying the Troubles, which I found really quite interesting. Usually history to me is something that happened a long, long time ago. World War I is history. The Troubles we lived through. And of course, history is always taught from certain perspectives, isn't it? Too many people have been either directly or indirectly affected by the Troubles. Whilst we say that things are much better than what they used to be, nevertheless, we still see so-called punishment beatings. We see threats to serving police officers. At the ministerial session of conference in June, we heard from Alan McBride, who lost his wife Sharon in the Shankill Road bomb on the 23rd of October 1993. He then went on to speak about his work in WAVE. And WAVE is an organisation set up to help people who have experienced bereavement, injury, or trauma as a result of the Troubles. The Reverend David Clements, who is the chair of the Northern Executive of CSR, lost his father, who was a serving police officer in 1985 in an IRA attack at the police station in Ballygawley. He recorded these words and are happy for these words to be shared. On the 7th of December 1985, Bill Clements was about to go home from the police station in Ballygawley. As he went out to his car to go home for his evening meal, there was a ring at the station gate. As he answered it, shooting broke out. He was shot in the face and then again in the head as he lay on the ground. Another colleague was also murdered before a bomb was left, which destroyed the station. The others in the station had a miraculous escape. David, for one, goes and tells the story more fully continues to give great lead to our connection in terms of the Council of Social Responsibility. But tragically, there are so many stories just like these. Some of you will have your own personal stories that you have experienced. Some of you, if not personal stories and experiences, will have stories to tell that you have heard from those close to you. As a community, as a society in our wee province, we have experienced trauma and loss on a devastating scale. And this trauma continues through grief and through injury. The psalmist then begins with a very powerful question recorded in verse 1. O Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide when I am in trouble? Even on the cross, Jesus cried out, asking where his Father was in the time of his need. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is one of the most heartbreaking cries in Scripture, isn't it? The question of suffering and trauma is a difficult one to reflect on. There's no easy answers. And each day we see some new experience of trauma across the world. It's not strange to ask questions of God, especially as to why people suffer. But I want you to note here the question of the psalmist. It's probably David who's written this psalm. The psalmist is not asking God why this bad stuff happens or even happens to him. It's actually a much more heart-wrenching question he's asking. The question isn't actually a why, but a where question. O Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide when I am in trouble? In the midst of suffering, sometimes people feel that God is far away, that God is hiding his face. Here he is asking the question, in the midst of suffering, where are you, God? Reminds us of the disciples in the boat during the storm, and they cry out, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care about us when we're faced with our own mortality? But the psalmist leaves the question hanging here, and he carries on for these next few verses in the psalm about why is the cause of his distress, because he describes the wicked man. For these next few verses, he talks about the wicked man, how he is arrogant, how he hunts down the weak, how he's boastful and greedy, how he disregards God's laws, how his mouth is full of curses, lies, and threats, and he carries on. Because on the surface, and it is for many of us, we feel that the wicked are seemingly getting away with it, and literally getting away with murder. Verse 13, then the psalmist asks, why do the wicked get away with despising God? But it's a rhetorical question, because the psalmist answers his own question. In verse 14, but you see the trouble and grief they cause. You take note of it and punish them. In other words, those who are evil and inflict pain and suffering on others will have to answer for their actions before Almighty God. But God not only sees, he also hears. Verse 17, Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. So God hears you and listens to you. There is not a victim's cry that God has not heard. From the ear-piercing shriek to the quietest little sob, God hears it all. We know that God is the one who sees everything and hears the cries of those who suffer. So what can our response be, especially to those who have suffered through the troubles or through any other trauma? In writing to the Corinthian church, then, the Apostle Paul wrote, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. God ministers to people through his people. Now, there isn't one person who hasn't suffered in some way or another, not maybe as a result of trouble, of the troubles here, but in a broad sense. That suffering for some will be more severe than others, but this isn't a competition. Showing God's care by listening to others in their hurt and pain is one way that we can seek to bring God's comfort into other people's lives. We don't have the answers to the really difficult questions. And my goodness, my toes curl when people give trite answers. God not only sees and listens to those who suffer, but we remember this God also has experienced suffering. He watched as his son suffered and died on the cross. So God not only sympathizes with us, but actually empathizes with us. Our God shares with us in our suffering. And so the psalm comes to an end with the difficult question being resolved. The closing verse says, you will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed, so mere people can no longer terrify them. God is the one who brings ultimate justice. I love the definition of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is making what it's like up there be what it's like down here. And so we strive for justice in our world, knowing that absolute justice will finally be done when Christ returns. But in the meantime, we do what we can to seek to bring comfort to those in our community who have suffered through the troubles, praying that they will know the loving arms of the Lord surrounding them and bringing them comfort. for God sees their suffering and listens to their cries. As God sees everything and hears everything, we can therefore conclude that God is present with us always. And God is present through his people, the body of Christ. And as the church, we have a role to play in our future. Whilst there are some who are intent on trying to take us back to the dark days of the Troubles, and there are still those who are involved in paramilitary activity, most people, we know this, most people want to move forward into a bright new shared future. And after 3 long years, we finally have the Stormont Assembly up and running again. Please pray for those who sit in our assembly. So many people in our province have been so adversely affected by not having an assembly in place. One final thought. Over the past number of years, we have seen again the rise of nationalism on a global scale. Whether that is in America or across Europe, or in Britain and Ireland. It's obvious that many people are really passionate about their political ideologies and allegiances, whatever they might be. And Adam's talk this morning was so appropriate and so helpful, thank you, for all of us, because we will see things from a different perspective. But here's what I want to say. If your political ideologies and allegiances are more important than Jesus, then Jesus is not Lord of your life. And that's a challenge for us. And I offer that as a gentle challenge to us all. As followers of Jesus, our calling is to bring in the kingdom of God in the present. That means being people who advocate and work for peace and justice. As God's people who live and move and have our being in this part of the world, our calling, therefore, must be to be people of love, reaching out in reconciliation to others, especially to those who hold a different view than that of ourselves. We have experienced 50 years of the Troubles. We don't want our children or grandchildren to go through what we went through as a society. And so we commend to the Lord all those who have suffered and still suffer. And we commit to working for peace and reconciliation in our land. Amen. We pray together. Lord, you know the experiences of so many people in our land, especially those who have suffered and who continue to suffer through the trauma of grief or injury. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to bring comfort and healing. And we pray that as your people, we will be those in our society who reach out in love and in reconciliation, so that we may see the kingdom of God coming in our midst, and all for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.